You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Trust Issues. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. I want to welcome each and every one of you. We're glad that you're here today. And we're in a series called Trust Issues. Can God be trusted? And here's what we're learning. We're learning that as people, we experience frustration with God because He doesn't always do what we want Him to do. And it creates a sense of frustration. It may create a sense of indifference or any of those emotions that kind of set you and I off with one another when we don't respond as quickly as what we want that person to. And so we've been looking at trust issues because healthy relationships are always based on trust. And yet there's times in our life of where we feel that God might be silent, or that maybe God is uncooperative in how He's relating to us. And this is common for you, and this is common for me. We're learning this, that God doesn't always respond in the way in which we think He should. And just because of that, you and I don't have to throw away our trust. We don't have to throw away our faith in God. We can continue to trust Him in spite of the fact that He might not be responding or acting in the way in which we think. Now, today we want to look at another facet of that. And I want to ask you a question, all right? And here's the question that I have for us today. Why doesn't God do something about that? Have you ever thought that? If you've ever said that, why don't you raise your hand? Okay, just raise your hand. All right, you can look around and you will see that by and large, all of us have our hands raised. And the reason for that is it's common. There's things in your life, there's things in my life. Matter of fact, there's things when you watch CNN or you watch Fox News and you muddle underneath your breath, why doesn't God do something about that? Why is He allowing that to happen? And really, it's not that big of a deal when we think about others in our world, but it becomes a much bigger deal and a much bigger issue when we ask it in a personal way. God, why don't you do something about that in my life? That boss, that spouse, that son, that daughter, that father, that mother. And He doesn't seem to respond to it. We just find that He's silent. Or we may even say that He's not acting quick enough or fast enough to our request. You see, one of the great destroyers of our trust and our faith is the timing that God has for you and me. Because His timing usually doesn't fit your scenario or my scenario. Because we live in a fast-paced world. We live in an instantaneous world. We have instant messaging. We have instant mashed potatoes. You know, we have instant coffee. We have instant money from money machines. We have instant relief for sore muscles and minor backaches. And it's almost become our birthright that the world should jump at our command. I mean, let me just ask you this. Don't raise your hand on this one. But how often do you get ticked because somebody does not respond to your text fast enough? Dude, I just texted you 5 minutes ago. What's up? I thought you loved me. I thought you cared about me. I thought we were friends. I thought we were tight. What's up? And that's our mindset. That's our mentality. But what we have to understand is God doesn't operate that way. And when we think He should, or we expect Him to operate that way, what happens is our trust can erode. And we can think that He doesn't care, or He's indifferent, or He's aloof to you and me. So what I want to do today is I want us to look at a story. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk us through this whole story, and then I want to share with you some things that you and I can begin to apply to our life. Because the story is that powerful. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, and you can follow along with your notes here. And I want to walk us through this story because I believe it's going to say something to all of us today. I believe that this can be a life-transforming day for you. And so let's look at it. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. And so if you remember that story, maybe you grew up in church and you heard that story. You know, Jesus said this story would be told everywhere. And so it was connecting with people when John explained it this way. So he goes on to say this. So the sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Now, it's interesting that she says, the one that you love, your friend. Because three of Jesus' best friends were Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And so she's saying, the one that you know, the one that you care about, the one that you've eaten with, the one that you're tight with, this is who is sick. So do I have your attention? And no doubt she was thinking, you know what, this is going to be a piece of cake because I've seen you work before, Jesus. I've seen you heal many, 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 many people. And so it goes on. It says, when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, this is interesting. He is saying that all of this is happening so that God might receive glory, so that Jesus might receive glory. And this will wreck your theology if you're not careful, okay? But he's saying what's happening to Lazarus, his sickness, is there because it's for God's glory and God's Son might be glorified through it. He goes on and says this. He says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now, here's what you need to understand. Why does John now tell us that Jesus loves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? Let me tell you why. Because you're not going to believe what he does. And you're going to not believe what he chooses not to do here. You're going to think that Jesus doesn't love Lazarus. You're going to think that Jesus doesn't love Mary and Martha. And so John just lets us know and he reminds us, you know what? I want you to know right from the get-go that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It goes on to say this. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Say what? You see why John needed to tell us that Jesus loved him? That doesn't sound like a friend, much less than someone who would love them. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." And so here we have Lazarus, a good friend of Jesus. We're told twice that he loved him. And yet Jesus somehow chooses to remain where he's at for 2 more days. How many of us would consider that a friend? How many of us would say, you know what, that person really loves them? No. And so it's important that we get this. He goes on to say this. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back? See, here's what happens. Jesus decided to stay 2 days later, or 2 days longer, and then he said, we're going to go. And they're saying, wait a second here. Why would you go back to Judea? We were just there not too long ago, and those guys tried to kill you. And so why would you go back and do that? And Jesus answered them with this. He says, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Jesus now is pausing to teach them a lesson, a very deep and personal lesson, because Scripture would say that we are to work while it is still light, for darkness comes when no man will work. And what Jesus was saying was, you know what? You just have a certain limited amount of time with me. Why wouldn't you follow me? Why wouldn't you follow my lead? Why wouldn't you want to go with me? I have much to teach you. And he goes on to say this. He says, anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. And so what Jesus is telling them is this. You have an opportunity to be with me. You have an opportunity to learn from me. I'm not going to be here forever, because in just a short little while, Jesus was going to die on a cross. And he is saying, I want you to hang out with me. And if you do that, it will serve you well. If you do that, then it will impact you and it will help you all the days of your life. And so John continues to record the story, and he says this. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. And so he gives them a little bit of insight here. And here's what they end up having to say. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Basically saying, we don't need to go to Judea. You know, don't you remember you just got stoned there? Why put ourselves in harm's way? And so they're saying here, if he's just sleeping, he'll get better. And then Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. And so then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. Can you imagine how that must have shook the disciples? You mean your friend Lazarus? The one in whom we've sat at his table many, many different times, and Mary and Martha has cooked for us, and you hung out here 2 extra days, and you didn't go see him? What's up with that, Jesus? And so, he said, for your sake, I am glad I was not there. Say this again. Help me, Jesus. I'm not tracking with you. I'm not connecting the dots. You're glad that you weren't there, and he's one of your best friends? He's one of your closest friends? What's going on here? What's happening here? He goes on to say this, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So let me give you the picture. Jesus is saying, the reason why I waited here 2 days was for your sake. For your sake. So that you may believe. So that you may learn how to trust. So that you might be able to have greater faith in me. And so Jesus here had a plan. He had a strategy. He had a thought. He had an idea. And basically, the disciples had to be thinking something like this. It is so important that we believe in you that you would let your best friend die? Yep. It's so important to me that you believe, that you trust me, that you follow me completely, that I would even let my best friend die so that you can believe. That's right. Now again, that will wreck your theology. That'll just tear you up inside. You're saying, how could God let that happen? How could Jesus let that happen? And he says here, so that you may believe. John goes on to record this story, and he says, then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go so that we may die with him. You know, I don't know. You know, there's different ways in which you can interpret it with it, but Thomas might be one of these guys that we always have on our team. Oh boy, the world's caving in. The world's falling in. And he's just saying, well, I guess let's just go and we'll just die right along with Jesus. Okay? Goes on to record this. He says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, this is important here. And the reason why it's important is because no doubt Mary and Martha had been waiting on Jesus. And they were probably saying to Lazarus, just hang in there. Just hang in there. Jesus is on his way. He's coming. He's going to be here, and he will heal you. You have nothing to worry about because we've seen him heal many, many people. And so they waited and waited and waited and still know Jesus. And he ended up dying. And it says here for 4 days. The reason why it says it's 4 days, because in those days, they believed that the spirit did not leave the body for 3 days. And that when 4 days had come, then they were totally, totally, completely, fully dead. And here's the bad news. Jesus wasn't there when he was sick, and Jesus wasn't there for his funeral. It's bad enough not to go visit your friend when they're sick, but to miss their funeral? Are you kidding me? And you're only about a mile and a half away, and you couldn't find it in your schedule, you couldn't find the time, you couldn't set aside a few things to be able to be there for the funeral. And so the 4 days is very, very important. John goes on to say this, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha went out to meet him because I think she wanted to give him a piece of her mind. But why did Mary, or why did Mary stay at home? Why do you stay away? Because we're angry. We're mad. We're disappointed. We've been let down. And no doubt Mary was angry and mad and disappointed and hurt. And thinking, you know what, Jesus, you don't love us. You love those other people more than you love us. You love the Romans more than you love us. You love the Gentiles more than you love us. And I thought we were tight. I thought we were close. I thought we were friends. You've eaten at our house. We've laughed. We've broken bread over and over again. And so Mary stayed at home. John continues the story and says, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Huh? Nailing him. Hey, Jesus, it's your fault. Lazarus would have never died. We'd never be in this predicament. We'd never experience this pain. We'd never have this difficulty. If it wasn't for you, because if you would have been here, things would have been different. Things would have been completely changed. He goes on to say this, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And so Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. This is kind of where maybe somebody's coming to you or they're coming to me, and maybe Martha felt that Jesus was giving her a spiritual answer. You know, basically saying, hey, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Said, I know the theology. I know that one day we're all going to be able to meet together in heaven. I know that, and I even believe that. And then Jesus says something incredible to her to even rock her further. Here's what he says. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Wow. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He goes on to say this, the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives and by believing in me will never die. And he's telling her, hey, you know what? Lazarus is going to rise again. She says, yeah, I know in the general resurrection, we're all going to. He says, no, you don't understand. Whoever believes in me will live. And even though they die, whoever lives by believing in me will never die? And then he asked this unbelievable, profound question. And he asked this of you, and he asked this of me. And here's what he says. Do you believe this? I know everything that has happened. I know everything that has gone on. I know that your brother is in a tomb. I know all of that. I know that you believe that I could have kept this from happening. But here's my question. Do you still trust me? In light of everything that has happened, in light of everything that has gone wrong, do you still believe that I am who I say that I am? Even though I didn't act in the way in which you thought I should. Even though you asked me to come and I didn't. Do you still believe? And here's what she said. Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. You know, she kind of gave the spiritual answer. It's kind of like when you and I say, I know God's in control. And yet what happens is we're dealing with all of these different emotions inside of us. We give the right answer outwardly, but inwardly, we're struggling. We're having trust issues. We're asking ourselves, can I really trust God? And so Martha goes back, John tells us, to the house, and he gets Mary, or she gets Mary, and says, let's go see Jesus. And so Martha was bringing Mary to Jesus, and John picks up here. He says, when Jesus saw her, Mary, weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Wow. What's John doing here? He's letting us know here that God is close to the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirit. When he saw that Mary was weeping, it says that he was moved deeply. Jesus asked this question, where have you laid him? He asked. And they said, come and see. And then John gives us a picture of God on full display. It says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And what is John trying to say to you and me? What is this story that has been preserved for you and I to be able to read? What is it saying to you and me? It is saying that in the middle of your pain, in the middle of your loss, in the middle of my tragedy, in the middle of my disappointment, that God is not too great and God is not too far away to understand your pain and to feel our hurt. That's what he's saying here. Even though that there's times that he might choose not to do anything, he still feels your pain. He still feels my pain. John goes on to say this, then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Wow. They're saying again, Jesus, if you would have been here, we heard about you. We've seen your miracles. We've seen you work. If you would have been here, if you wouldn't have been late, surely you could have done something. It says that Jesus once more was deeply moved and came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said, and listen to these next words. But Lord, Martha said, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. You know what it sounds like to me? Martha was sticking it to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, he's already been dead for 4 days. You already blew it. You missed your opportunity. You had a chance. We asked you to come. You were only a mile and a half away, and you blew it. And he's been in the tomb for 4 days. There's going to be a bad odor. It's going to be an embarrassment. What's up with that? And she basically, from my perspective, was putting it to Jesus. You ever done that? You ever put it to God? And just say, it's your fault? It's because of you? John goes on to say this. He says, then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? If you did not trust me, if you would just continue to trust me in spite of all the things that you see with your natural eye and that you think with your natural mind, if you believe, will you see the glory of God? And so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. And so Jesus is having a talk with his heavenly Father. But I said this for their benefit, for the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me. And so Jesus is saying here, I'm doing all of this and I'm allowing all of this to happen so that they can see my relationship with you. Because one day they're going to have to cry out to you. One day they're going to be looking to you. And I want them to know my relationship with you is strong. And my relationship with you is built on trust. And I've said all of this for the benefit of the people here so that they may deepen their trust in you, so that they may believe that you have sent me. He goes on to say this. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And guess what happened, folks? The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Wow. In their eyes, Jesus was late. In their eyes, Jesus dropped the ball. In their eyes, Jesus let them down. But see, they didn't really understand God. They didn't understand his ways. And many times, we don't. And we think that God's dropped the ball. We think that God has missed an opportunity. And yet he's working all things together for your good and for my good. John concludes with this. He says, therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. Oh, wow. What did Jesus say? I'm doing this all for what? The glory of God. I'm doing this and God's going to show up. And because of the way that it's being orchestrated, even though you can't figure it out, Dwight, even though you don't fully understand, even though you think I'm running late, even though you think I've dropped the ball, if you will trust me, if you will continue to hope in me, if you will continue to have faith in me, in spite of what you see, in spite of the fact that I am not working and doing it the way in which you want me to, or as soon or as quick as you want me to, if you will hang in there with me, God's glory will be revealed. God's glory will be seen. And many people will come to put their faith in him. So what do we do when God's late? Let me give you four things quickly. Here's the first thing. We grasp God's love. Grasp God's love for you. Grasp God's love for you. Let me take us back to this story once again. It says, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. The word love here means friendship or to affectionately love someone. But John goes on and he tells us this in verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. John uses a completely different word than what the word that Martha used. Martha used the word friendship, affection. John here uses the word agape. Agape. And what is agape love? Agape love is when God loves us unconditionally. And here is the question that agape love always asks. It asks this question: what is best for the one I love? What is best for the one I love? In light of the big picture, in light of everything going on, what is best for the one that I love? Now listen to me very quickly or closely. Most of us don't ask that question. The reason why sometimes we overcompensate for people is because their pain and their discomfort makes us uncomfortable. And so we do what is best for us, not for the person. And Jesus loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary more than just what was most comfortable. He took the uncomfortable route. He took the route of being misunderstood and maligned. Why? Because he loved them that much. He knew that what was going on and what was happening, they would need. And so we have to grasp God's love for us. And that it's not just a friendship. It's the kind of love that God will always do and always act in your best interest and my best interest. Here's the second thing. Recognize God's delays are not necessarily denials. We need to recognize that God's delays are not necessarily denials. Let me take us back to this story one more time. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it will happen for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So, although Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. You see, what we have to understand is we have to recognize that God's delays are not necessarily his desire or his denial. It's for his glory. And what is God's glory? God's glory is his presence and his power. Is his presence and his power. And God wants to bring his glory into your situation and into my situation so that people can see his presence and his power in your life and in my life so that they will come to put their faith in him as well. Here's the third one. When God seems late, we need to understand our disappointments are his appointments. Our disappointments are his appointments. Let's go back to the story again. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. Wow. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're glad that Lazarus is dead? I can't believe it. I liked Lazarus. I wasn't as close to him as you, Jesus, but I liked him. My heart aches because he has died. But here's what he says. I'm glad I wasn't there so that you may believe. You know what? I'm going to use your disappointment as my appointment with you. And I'm going to use it not to destroy your faith, but I'm going to use it to build your faith. Here's the fourth one, and that is this. Expect to experience God in a new way. Expect to experience God in a new way. Here's what I mean by that. When God seems late, you can expect to see God and experience God in a new way. Remember what Martha said? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. We also read this. But some of them said, could not he who had opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? You know what? They only knew Jesus as a healer. They knew he could touch the eyes of a blind man and cause him to see. They knew that he could make the lame walk and the deaf hear, but they didn't know this, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. You know what? They knew Jesus as a healer, but they didn't know him as the resurrection. And so sometimes God seems late because you only know one facet of him. Some of us here today, we only know him as Savior. Yeah, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't know him as Lord. You don't really know that he is one that you can fully trust in completely, and that he is the master of the universe. And he wants you to know him, not just as Savior, but he wants you to know him as Lord, that he is in complete control, and that he can even speak to the things that are dead and call them back to life. So let me ask you a question as we wrap up. Why doesn't God do something about that? What's your that? Let me tell you maybe the reason why God isn't doing something about that. So that you might believe in him more. So that your trust might deepen in him. So that you might experience him in a new way. So that you might learn to grasp his love in a deeper, more personal way. So that you might recognize that his delays are not denials. So that you might recognize and understand that our disappointments are many times his appointments. And today, God wants to say to you, if you will believe that he will bring his glory, it will enable you and me to continue to trust, continue to hope, continue to believe, even when it seems that nothing is happening. Let's pray. God, today I realize and I know that many of us here today have asked that question. So why aren't you doing something about that? And those moments have a tendency to erode our trust and cause us to doubt your goodness and your greatness and your generosity. And I pray today that we would grasp your love for us, that we would recognize that your delays are not necessarily denials, that we would understand that you're using our disappointments to have an appointment with us, and that we can expect you to act in a way that we've never seen or never experienced before. So God, help our unbelief and help us to believe that we will see your glory in whatever that is in our life. And it's in Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.